Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Time. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining us along, following us here. Redneckinize.com is also our website where you can find links to all of our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. And also YouTube. We appreciate everybody that has subscribed to our YouTube channel. We got a lot of great videos over there that we posted here in the last couple of years talking about, like, you know, just life on the road, talking about being an owner-operator, doing lease purchase, talking about, like, you know, the driver shortage and talking about the interaxle differential and how it works. And they even have videos directed to the four-wheelers on how to drive around big trucks. And we appreciate everybody doing that for us. This is Redneckinize Radio. We've been doing this here for almost 2 years now, ever since the pandemic started there. And we've kind of just kept it going, and hopefully everybody can tag along and join in on the conversation. We're talking about life on the road, all things trucking and then some. This is what we've been talking about. So what we've been doing here lately is talking about news and what's been going on. There is a session here, a comment section, talking about the emergency exemptions. It's about to end, probably sometime next week. I think it's the 7th of February is when it's going to end. And it's talking about they're trying to change the rules for the emergency exemption policy. There's a new one in place where the FMCSA is changing its rules or modifying its rules about the driverless trucks. And there is now a new commenting period on that one, and that was released in Freight Waves. Actually, it was on Tuesday. There was an article that released talking about that, and let's see, they're talking about the laws that they set in 2019, but they're trying to modify them, so they're looking at a commenting period to where they're going to want to address that. And let me see if I can locate that for y'all. I'll get to that, and I'll post it up on our Facebook page. Other than that, we've been talking about just life on the road in general, and they're is a big article that in the New Yorker, because the book that got released, which I haven't been able to get to yet, I need to get to that. Karen Levy is a professor, and she wrote a book, and it's basically about sociology. She's a sociology professor, and what that deals with is just, you know, how culture is affected by, you know, just the rules that we make and set for ourselves. And what she's done is she's actually talked about how that the rules that we've made, the rules that we set up, these surveillance systems that we set up for truck drivers where we've got cameras in the trucks, we got the dash cams, and we got all the technology that has the lane departure warnings and front end collision, that's actually created problems for the trucking industry where we're no longer training drivers. We're just like, get in the truck and do whatever the truck tells you to do. And it's actually causing a bigger problem than it's solving. So she's wrote a book about that, how, you know, it's about the people, and it's the, you know, basically what they're doing is us old school guys out here that actually went to school, trained, and we work real hard to try to make sure that we know what we're doing. You know, the rates really haven't helped us at all. And by them creating this technology, the trucks are becoming more expensive and the labor is becoming cheaper. And they're not worried about trying to train the drivers other than just, you know, the truck's going to do most of the work, so you need to just do what the truck tells you to do. And basically, like me, I've got one of these new trucks because I'm a company driver. And what it's done is it's just created – I had to learn how to drive this truck, you know. And and deal with, you know, what makes the bells and whistles go off and try to change that to my best ability. But again, I'm adaptable, so I'll modify it. But the new guys, they're never going to learn what it's like to be without that technology. So, you know, here in the, when the bad weather hits down in Texas, guess what? Everybody shut down. Everybody went home. The companies, they said, we're not running. No, don't come into work. Stay home. You know, we'd rather sit down and not do anything. And of course the public, they're okay with it. You know, they're okay with it. They're like, well, you know, stay safe. Okay. Well, we've done this before. Okay. Trucking has, you know, we've had bad weather before. We've had bad weather in other states. Other states do it every day. And then it gets cold in Texas and everybody's like, oh, shut down, go home. Don't do anything. And I agree. I don't want to work when it's cold, but guess what? I got a job to do. You know, I mean, if anybody out there knows, truck drivers, when they don't work, they don't get paid. There's no salary, and there's no kind of breakdown or detention or anything set for when the weather shuts everything down. So when the road closes, drivers don't make money. You know, they tell you, you know, we've got certain pay. Like, we'll pay you for the bad weather, or we'll pay you for the customer delays. But it's not that much. It's very little. It's not going to make up for the money you could be making going down the road. So when everybody says, oh, yeah, that's good, they do that. Well, it's not enough, okay? And don't, you know, come on. I'd rather be working. I'd rather be getting down the road. I don't want to be paid for, I mean, you know, hey, it's great. You're going to throw in an extra, you know, 30, 50 bucks, maybe 100. But that doesn't make up for the 500 or 600-700 that I could be making going down the highway. And that's just as a company driver. As an owner-operator, you're making a whole lot more. So, you know, we'd rather get the wheels turning down the road, and we'd rather get paid good for it. And the system that we've created is just they've made it to where they can pay the drivers less, and, you know, they've got the new trucks, and they're just telling people, well, it might take a couple more days, or, you know, it might have to shut down because of bad weather and all that. I got so many stories to tell you about this because I've been in this business since, I mean, I've only been in the business since 1997. And there were still good stories being told that were happening at that time. So this is just in the last 10, 15 years that all of this changes has come about to where we've just shut down. Any kind of bad stuff happens, we just shut everything down. And that's not how it used to be. So we'll definitely get into stuff like that. And see what all can be done, but yeah, it's just crazy the way things are working like that. And, you know, hey, if you got something to say about it, let me know. 515-602-9731 is the phone number that you can call in. And we're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. This is Redneck and I's Radio, and we're here live. RedneckandI's.com is our website. You can find links to all of our great sponsors over there too. One of the great sponsors is Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com. Or you can download the app from the App Store. That's the app where you can track freight and book freight, you know, kind of like all the other freight booking apps that we have on our phones these days. This one here, you also, though, you can plan your routes. You can check out for parking, truck stops, fuel stops, maintenance, even just regular parking spots or even Walmarts. So you can check that out. And that's just, yeah, that's Trucker Tools. You can check them out. TruckerTools.com is the website, or get their app from the App Store. Just search Trucker Tools. And we appreciate all the support of Redneck and I. So hang tight. Back in a second. It's Redneck and I's Radio, and we're live. Yeah.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particular filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It is, 6:15 Central Time, 7:15 on the East Coast. We're here live every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along and following us here at Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. And also check it out at redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody following us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Also subscribing to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Our YouTube channel has been steadily growing. We've been able to put a lot of videos on there, and then we started doing our show and everything. So it's been doing all right. We're pretty excited about it, you know. I mean, I'd rather have good quality than quantity, you know what I mean. And we've been taking a break from that, but we're still going. The videos are still on there, and you can still go check them out. We still get tons and tons of videos. I mean, you got to figure that's like 200 hours of watch time in our videos in the last month. That's pretty good for, you know, just a couple of truck drivers throwing something together. There's several drivers out there that make their own videos, and they're doing everything. You know, they got it all out there doing everything that they do, whether it's from fueling to, you know, eating at the restaurant or cooking food or whatever. And they got tons and tons of following, but they've been at it for several years. You know, we've only been at it probably, two or three. And it's kind of just slow and going, you know. So pretty good about that. Pretty excited. Like I said, check that out. You can go to YouTube and search Redneck and Eyes. Our YouTube channel is Redneck and Eyes. And this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. So we're talking about, like, just the way trucking has changed over the years. And, you know, the rulemaking and all that. You know, the funny thing to me is, the first thing that I point out to everybody is that here in the last, 20, 30, 40 years, we've had OIDA be a big, big part of the rulemaking, FMCSA, you know, and they've always been like, you know, filing these injunctions or lawsuits in the states. They've been real successful at getting like red light cameras removed from the certain states. State laws have been passed to remove red light cameras. And then, of course, when it comes down to like changing the laws in certain states, like in Minnesota, remember Minnesota, they were doing a little checklist. And they said if your dash was dirty or your bed was unmade or if you had any type of like trash bag that's full of trash that wasn't, you know, wasn't empty, you know, if you had a lot of, if they deemed it as a lot of trash, they deemed that as fatigue. They said, you're fatigued, you need to shut down. And because they were like, you know, the bed's not made or the dash is messy and all that. And FMC or the, what do you call it, OIDA, they actually sued and they got the law changed because there's only one way to determine whether or not a driver is tired. And that is by the hours of service. The logbook is the way to determine. If they have went over the hours of service, technically they are fatigued and they need to stop. And that's why the hours of service was implemented. And they've been successful at that. Now, when you go back to like the federal rules and all the changes to the logbooks, ELDs, and all this stuff, they've actually done really a piss poor job at getting all this stuff eliminated. ELDs, they've been fighting it, and guess what? Nothing happened. They still went with it. ELDs. ATA won that. ATA is, when they say American Trucking Association, they mean trucking carriers. The truckload carriers, all these big carriers, they're the ones that funnel money into the ATA, and the ATA, they love it. And they're the ones that got the ELDs put in place. They're the ones trying to get driverless trucks going in. They're the ones that got the rules changed for the hours of service. And they even support speed limiters on trucks, like they did up in Canada, where everybody had to run 65 miles an hour. So they were the ones trying to get the owner-operators just out. They don't want owner-operators. You know, they want lease purchase. They love lease purchase because then they can set the rules and then only pay you a 1099 and you have to pay all the taxes, not them. And that's basically just, you know, I mean, if you ran a big company, if you could get away with it, your whole deal would be 1099 everybody. Because that way you can make sure that the employee, the person you're paying, is responsible for paying their own taxes. They're responsible for getting their own insurance. And they're responsible for just taking care of their own money. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about retirement plans or insurance or anything like that. You just make them do it. 1099. That's easy, right? And that's what they support. And some of these states like California, they don't like that. They want to, you know, they like everybody on the government insurance plan. So they make sure everybody's an employee, you know, so that's what happens. So we got states and we got federal government, and then we've got the big businesses with the lawyers and the Wall Streets and all that, because let's face it, if the company is publicly traded, then that means that the person that created the company or the people that are running it day to day, they have no say in how that company spends money. It's all done by Wall Street, you know, whether or not it's good for their stock price or not. That's all they care about. So my personal opinion is, if you're going to work for a company and be a company driver, or even if you're going to lease on to somebody, find somebody that's not publicly traded where they have to answer to a board of directors. You want them to be, you know, solely owned by one person or a family or something where, you know, they're the ones that make the decisions. And that's what you want to see. You don't want to see this big corporate stuff, because that's what's taking over. It's taking over everything. I mean, most of all of our customers, Procter & Gamble and what do you call the steel industries and all that, it's all controlled by the market. So, you know, we're trying to get out of that. We need to get away from that. You know, support local businesses, support, even if it's a big business, if it's family owned or not, you know, like I said, publicly traded, that's where you can make a good case out of, you know, supporting, you know, you can support a big business as long as it's owned by, you know, one or two people. And, you know, as long as it's not on the stock market, you're okay. You know, that kind of thing. So, other than that, what also has happened is that the culture has changed, where we've gotten away from training quality drivers. And I've kind of witnessed it happen over the years when I was working for a big company in the training department, watching these people get trained. If you go to truck driving schools now, it's a puppy mill kind of scenario. And really it's about, you know, we're talking about quantity over quality. And it is quantity. It's get as many drivers, many people as you can get into the trucking school and turn out as many CDL holders as you can and get them all on here. And that's what you got to do. That's the most important thing. And so what that's done is that's called on the technology of the big trucks to actually improve so that they can have less qualified drivers in the trucks. And then we'll just say, you know what? The truck's going to do all the work. The truck is going to do the one. The truck's going to make sure they stay in the lane. The truck's going to make sure they don't rear end anybody. you know, the truck's got automatic braking, all that stuff, where, you know, all they got to do is set the cruise, or even when their foot's on it, we can control that. You know, we can control that stuff. You know, put in automatics, we can control that now. We, you know, we were talking about that the other night, where there is switches on the truck where a driver can turn on the automatic or not, or stuff like that. And the company now can go in the computers in the trucks and actually shut that stuff off. So it's like you don't have a control anymore. You do what they tell you to do, and you drive that truck the way they tell you to drive it, and you don't have a say anymore. You know, if they don't want that truck to push up a hill real hard, then you're not going to do that, because they're going to control that. You know, just like going down a hill. You know, if you want to be able to run down a hill straight down because you see the hill coming up and you want to go down so you can run it up fast, you know, you can't do that no more. No, they got automatic, the Jake brakes kick in automatically. It's gonna force you to slow that truck down. And they even have a policy where they don't want you going too fast. You know, I mean, there's always been that policy. Ever since I started, they had that policy where if the truck went too fast down the hill, they would bring you in and call you to the carpet and tell you, you know, don't be driving that truck too fast. Well, the speed limit was 75. I was going 76, you know, down a hill. And they're like, yeah, that's too fast. Our trucks are only governed at 65. So you should only be going 65 down that hill. I mean, that's what they'll tell you. You know, so that's what they want to control everything. They are in control of everything. They own it, and they're going to control it, and you have no say. They don't trust you anymore. You are not a person that can be trusted to drive that truck anymore. Even though you might know what you're doing, they don't care. You know, they don't do that. Now they've got the computers to do it for you. They don't even have to tell you now. They just say, when that truck does it, that's how the truck is. And so that what that's done is that just created, I mean, it's over the years you saw it happen. We had trainers, right? So first off, you went to the driving school and you learned how to drive. And when you came out of the driving school, you're supposed to know what you're doing pretty much. And then you went with a trainer, and that trainer, he's pretty much just supposed to show you, you know, the ropes kind of thing. You're supposed to really know how to drive already, and they may have to fine tune and teach you a few things about this is the real world, this is the road, this is what we do here, and all that. And it was based off their experience, and they knew, you know, the companies were relying on them. Your experience is important. You need to pass your experience on to them, you know. Well, now that's not the case anymore. The case is that the experience that we want you to teach is what's in the computer. You know, we wrote a book. Follow that book. We don't care about what you've experienced. We only care about what we want you to experience. And it's just, you know, when the trainer got a driver and that driver didn't know too much, you don't know what he's doing. Pass him anyway. I mean, it just become laziness. We can't fire the guy. We can't fire the trainee for not knowing what they're doing. We just need to give him. I mean, there's times I've been told to put him with another trainer, and you'd go six trainers. You could have six different people come in and say that trainee, that driver does not know what he's doing. He should not be driving a truck. And they'll say, put him with another trainer. I mean, that's what they'll do. They don't want to fire the guy. It costs too much money to fire that person. All that money you spent training them, you know, no, they're not going to do that. So now we got the trucks doing all the work. And now it's just become that process to where pretty soon there won't even be trainers. There won't even be – it's like, you know, once you – well, nowadays, you know, you see what it is that the trucking company itself, they have their own schools. They have their own system. So they won't even hire you if you've already been to truck driving school. You're going to have to go to their truck driving school. And you're going to have to learn how they do it. Schneider is a good one. You know, they have a truck driving school. They want you to go to their truck driving school. You know, Werner's doing the same thing. You know, come to our truck driving school. We'll send you to ours. You know, there's very few independent schools now. And even them, they don't care. You know, the local college here that I live next to, they're bringing in 18-year-olds fresh out of high school and getting their CDLs. They don't even tell them that, well, you're not going to be able to work for a major trucking company until you turn 21. Good luck trying to find a job at the age of 18. You can't leave the state until you turn 21. And there's a few places, but I mean, it's not a lot. So if you're not 21, then you're not going to get hired unless they change the law, which they're trying to do anyway. But again, you know, the truck driving school doesn't care. Used to, when you went to truck driving school, they wouldn't even send you to the class until they knew you had a job. It's like, yeah, here, sign here. You'll go to work for this company. As soon as you start school and finish school, you've already been hired by this one company. And when I went to truck driving school, and that was in 1997, I think there were about 30 people in that class, maybe a little less, not quite that many. And I bet you that 28 of them already had jobs lined up. They already knew where they were going to go work. And the only others that didn't are the ones that came in from like a prison program to where they got sent to truck driving school straight out of jail. You know, and they're the only ones that didn't get hired by anybody that, you know, came in there. They had to actually do some extra work to go find, but they were working hard to find those guys jobs. The truck driving school felt obligated to say, we got to find you guys jobs. And that's what they kept doing. And nowadays, I don't care. Come to the truck driving school, pay us money, or get a government grant to pay us to teach you. And we'll only teach you the bare minimum, not even that, just enough to get your CDL, which is, it's a puppy mill anyway. And good luck finding a job. You know, some guys can't even get hired these days. That's why they say there's a driver shortage, because it's not about, you know, whether or not it's not about the bodies. It's about the bodies that can get qualified. You know, if you got a bad driving record or a criminal history, you're not going to get hired by most people. You know, nowadays with the insurance companies, they're not hiring any. I mean, the insurance companies are really, really tough. If the trucking company is not self-insured, chances are they got really strict hiring process. And if they are self-insured, then it's kind of like as soon as you hit something, you're done. You know, so good luck with that. But, I mean, that's how it's been. So I don't know. Tell me what you think. It's already 6:30 now. So give me a call, 515-602-9731. We're talking about just how the industry has changed over the years where we're not getting that quality of driver anymore. There was a book written. It was called Data Driven by Karen Levy. And she actually did a lot of research and talking about how the technology has created just a bad system for truck drivers. Very stressful. And it's created less responsive drivers because the computers are doing everything. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And there's a new proposed rule for driverless trucks, and we'll get involved in that too. So let's see here. There you go. So we'll take a little break here, and we'll come right back, and we'll talk about the FMCSA's rule changes and all that stuff like that. So give us a call, 515-602-9731. Go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Please go subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we'll see you in a second. We'll be right back.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Everybody, hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining us along. We're here live every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So we've been talking about just how trucking has changed over the years and how just it's been crazy about how the companies have changed their requirements, and it's made it really bad for all of us old school guys, because no longer you don't have to worry about knowing how to drive a truck. Basically, you just get in and let the truck do all the work. Even if it's nowadays with all the technology, lane departure warning, collision warning, cruise control, everything kicks in automatically. Some drivers can't even control the Jake brakes. It comes on when the truck starts rolling too fast. Jake brakes come on. Even if you got them turned off, they still come on. And then even the automatic transmissions, there was, oh, I love my automatic. You said, yeah, and then you have no control over it. There's no control over that automatic anymore. It might shift for you automatically, but then when you get going up the road, when you try to get up a hill, it it's not going to shift like you want it to shift. It's just going to creep up the highway, and you're going to end up going slower and slower because they're saving fuel, you know. So that's what it's come down to. Well, now the FMCSA has got a new proposed rulemaking with when it involves driverless trucks. It says FMCSA proposes new requirements for driverless trucks. Carriers may need to notify government of plans to operate level 4, level 5 vehicles. It says the federal government is taking the next step toward regulating high automated trucks with a proposal that will consider requiring carriers to notify the government if they plan to operate such vehicles in interstate commerce. I guess it's a thing where they all want to know, you know. I mean, the states now have laws where certain things got to be permitted and it's got to set a certain class, just like you say, level 4, level 5, what's that mean? And basically what level 4 and level 5 is that level 5 is just full automation. So the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration on Wednesday will issue new supplement to an advance notice of proposed rulemaking issued in 2019 to help the agency assess costs and benefits to any future formal rulemaking for trucks using level 4 and level 5, those that do not require a human driver behind the wheel. In addition to the notification requirement, the supplement Safe Integration of Automated Driving Systems Equipped Commercial Motor Vehicles also considers requirements for remote assistants who monitor autonomous trucks, as well as potential new vehicle inspection and maintenance requirements. Again, this is just throwing their hat in the ring, talking about how, you know, we want to know, and if you've got these trucks, we're going to implement different rules for the inspections. And now, to me, all the people that were excited about driverless trucks says, well, you drivers, what's going to happen is you're going to be stuck at the yard now inspecting all these trucks. And what it looks like to me is they're just going to make that harder. So now it's just going to weed out a bunch of guys. If you can't get it, if you can't, you know, stay on the yard and follow these rules that they set here, then you're not going to get hired to do that. So you're going to have to be more educated on these systems and how to do these inspections. Says FMCSA points out the new proposal that while it is continuing to look at the potential risk and safety benefits of lower level automation 0 through 3, considered driver assist technology, it does not see the need to revise regulations to integrate that equipment because it requires a human driver to be behind the wheel at all times. The focus of this notice is level 4 and 5 of the automatic driving systems equips commercial vehicles, because it's only at those levels that the ADS can control all aspects of the dynamic driving task without an expectation of an intervention from a human driver. Well, they're talking about remote assistance, so there's got to be some human doing it, right? It says among questions the agency is asking the public related to motor carrier notifications, should the FMCSA require motor carriers operating level 4 and 5 equipped with the automatic driving systems to notify the agency before operating those vehicles in interstate commerce without a human driver behind the wheel? What potential methods or procedures should be established? Well, what do you mean? I mean, if they simply just letting you know, who cares? You're not going to do anything anyway. I mean, what are you going to do? Well, all it is that you're making it a rule that they've got to notify you. Pretty soon you'll make it a rule that they've got to spend some money and pay you money. You know, I mean, that's all it is. Shakedown, right? It says another question is, before operating interstate commerce, should motor carriers be required to submit information, data, documentation, or other evidence that demonstrates carriers seeking to operate level 4 and 5 equipped commercial vehicles have appropriate safety management controls in place? Well, I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do for safety reasons? Is that you need to make sure that everything is safe? I mean, hello? And the other question is, what data should FMCSA collect and maintain regarding level 4 and 5 equipped commercial vehicles engaged in interstate transportation? How should such information be used? I mean, and this is so funny to me because I think they already got the answers to these questions. So it's kind of like they're just kind of putting it out there. And then there is on the regulations, there is a commenting period, and they do have comments showing up here. And let's see. And basically there's a bunch of comments. There's 361 comments already. And it's been going on. Wait a minute. Go back. These are the old ones. This is not the new one. Hang on a second. Yeah, this is the old one. This ain't the new one. So they haven't even posted the new one yet. Yep. So we don't know yet. We don't know yet what's going to be. You know, they haven't established the new one yet. This is, what I clicked on earlier was the old one. So they don't even know. It says FMCSA defines remote assistance as a human who provides remote information or advice to an ADS-equipped vehicle in driver's operations in order to facilitate trip continuation when the ADS encounters a situation it cannot manage. I just, like I said, we don't know enough to understand why they think that they've got to change things or monitor things. You know, they collect the data. The data that I want to use is that, are they crashing or are they not crashing? Here's another article right here. Hang on. The feds predict at least 200 automated vehicle crashes annually. And this article was a year ago. And it says that the based in California testing of the automatic driving cars and heavy duty trucks, it says self-driving cars and trucks under testing and being deployed commercially will likely be involved in at least 200 crashes annually over the next 3 years, according to estimates by federal regulators. Is that a lot? Is that not? It says there were 105 ADS crashes reported in California in 2019, according to the agency. The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration believes that it is reasonable to assume that about half of all the ADS testing in the United States is occurring in California. Therefore, the agency expects that there will be an approximately 200 ADS crashes in the year that manufacturers and operators will be required to report. So, it seems like they're just going to go do it anyway. Doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what any kind of data comes. They're going to come with it. It's coming. And they just don't care. You know, they love it. They think it's cool. And it's going to save them money. And they're going to be able to kick the regular Joe out of a job. That's all they care about. It says that here the comments on the proposal are due on March 20th, but there's no link to the commenting period that's been proposed. If it's March 20th, that means it got put out, because it's usually about 60 days of comment. And I don't see anything on here talking about that. Here they got an article that got put out last year. It says Daimler and Navistar, Volvo ordered to report autonomous truck crashes. Three manufacturers among 108 companies required to deliver additional data to the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. Looks like that these carriers, when they're doing their testing, they're not releasing the data. You know, they're only releasing the good stuff, not the bad stuff. Basically what they're doing. So take that what you will. You know, hey, just understand it is coming, and politicians are really not standing in the way. You know, they're all worried about everything else, the debt and for some reason corruption in Ukraine. You know, that's what got fired me up when I was watching the news yesterday and today, is that, you know, we're trying to send money to Ukraine or send tanks or whatever, and come to find out we don't even have the tanks to send it to them. We're gonna have to order them, and then they won't get there until like sometime next year. And then they say, well, we're not going to send them unless you guys clear up your corruption, because there's a lot of people making a lot of money, because they're like, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, whatever Ukraine is doing is nothing compared to the people that make tons of money here in the United States, calling the kettle black. And really, today, that Zelensky guy, they were interviewing him. And the way he was talking, it really doesn't seem to me like it's a big deal. Like he said, yeah, there's some people doing that. But, you know, hey, it's not like extreme, you know, and it's not that bad. And there might be some bad doers, but we're fine. We'll get it done. And it's so to me that it's to me that that part of the world, if you come up to a guy, and it's kind of like the free market. I mean, they believe in the free market, except when it comes to them not benefiting. Like when they benefit from the free market and capitalism, they love it. You know, it's kind of like, hey man, I got 20 oranges here, and I'll sell them to you $5 a piece. They only cost me $1. You know, and as long as they're making money, they don't care. But when you won't buy them, and you'll say, well, I've got plenty of oranges over here, I'll give you $2 for them. I mean, that was, oh, you're cheating me. You know, I mean, that's the way they feel. And it's just that part of the world just loves capitalism, except when it doesn't benefit them. And it's what it seems to me is that they just don't care. And it's just like over here when you've got companies that make money off government contracts, and, you know, it's like, you're getting paid twice as much, you know, sometimes 10 times as much as you would be making normally. You know, when a company wants to buy something from another company, they actually try to negotiate. They say, we want a better deal. Federal government doesn't do that. Federal government says, give us some bids. And everybody knows that there's going to be all these little strings and rules attached to it, so they up it. Everybody ups it. And it's kind of like everybody that does these government bids, they all just overshoot. And the government, all they do is they go to the lowest bidder. And so you just try not to overshoot too much, but you know that it's going to be over high. I don't know if you guys seen the movie. It was War Dogs. And it was these two young guys that got involved in arms trading. And what they were doing is that there were arms deals going on all over the world with NATO and the U.S. government and all that. And there's like an official website because people got mad that the arms deals or any kind of government contracts were only being awarded to certain people that had the connections. Well, then I think it was Bush maybe that did it that said, we got this website now and everything has to be posted to the website. So it means everybody has access to it. So they benefited from that. And instead of going for the big deals, they just went for the little ones. Well, they were making like tens of thousands of dollars per deal, you know, and they were really easy to fulfill. They didn't require much work. And a couple of times they had to do, you know, some extra stuff and all that. Well, then they found this one big contract that they thought they could do, and they got called by some people that were doing illegal stuff and said, hey, we'll help you. I can't do that, but I can help you do that. And then next thing you know, what do you call, they submitted their contract, and they got the deal. And the guys were like, well, we were just, you know, excited that you guys, you know, came in here and were able to fill the deal. Like, what do you mean? He was like, well, you were, you know, like 50 million less than everybody else. and it was like, because they shot it so low because they didn't know that it was going to be that much or that it could be rewarded that much and everything. So they actually, you know, didn't. And it turned come to find out they were doing illegal stuff. So they got sent to prison because they did it illegally so they can still make money off of it. And that was really interesting. And stuff like that. And the guy, one of the guys, he actually flipped and became state's evidence. And that's the reason why he wrote a book or whatever and told the story and they made the movie. So it was a big deal. But it's all about, you know, making tons of money with government. And that's what it is. And that's corruption to me that, you know, 'cause they all know it and they all know the government doesn't care. You know, when you're spending money and it's not your money, why do you care? You know, when you're told, hey, go buy something. Here's a credit card. Go buy whatever you want. You know, I need this project done over here, so go do it. And you spend all this money, and you had no effort in filling that bank account as much. I mean, or maybe, you know, it's not near enough as what you thought it would be, and you spend all the money because you're like, hey, I was told just to do it. It doesn't matter. You know, nobody cares, and that's the problem. Is nobody cares. They just spend the money. So government corruption, that's what pisses me off, is that we got federal government corruption here, and we got people here goosing the numbers trying to get the driverless trucks going, and they're not being truthful. And it's government corruption because they're making tons of money. Politicians are invested in the companies. They're making tons of money, technology and all that, and they're just getting it done. They don't care about the consequences. They don't care about the fallout of the American worker or whatever. They don't care. You know, they just want to make their money. You know, already we had driverless truck companies where they're CEOs had to resign because they're being brought up on charges for, like, you know, fraud and embezzlement, bank fraud. And, you know, they're receiving money from people that shouldn't be, you know, participating in business in the U.S. because they're wanted or whatever. You know, the Russian oligarchs or the Chinese diplomats or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. So already the corruption has entered the driverless trucking world. And, you know, nobody seems to care because of the Ukraine deal. And nobody seems to care because, you know, we've got government officials passing around classified documents like it ain't nothing, like it's a bunch of Tic Tacs. So, you know, what are we going to do? What can you do? You know, keep your powder dry. That's all I can tell you, because it's going to come down to it. And I mean, unless something seriously happens with getting the current politicians out of office, you know, especially the ones that like to spend a bunch of money, and especially the ones that are hypocrites when it comes to, like, you know, any kind of rules that they make. It's like, no, I want the rule to be for you, not for me. Those are the ones I hate the worst, you know. So I don't know what you're going to do. Got about, 5 minutes left? Here we go. So give me a call, 515-602-9731. Been kind of in a funk. It got real cold down here. State of Texas shut down. Another thing I was talking about with the quality of drivers, State of Texas shut down because the companies were like, you're not that good of a driver. I would rather you guys just do nothing than risk you guys going out there and getting into an accident. You know, instead of training you on how to drive in this weather, I'll just rather you not do it. So what do you say, bud?
Oh, well, you're sitting at home tonight?
Not tonight. I'm finally going back to work. Last night I stayed home. And then
for a little bit of ice?
I'm telling you, dude, it pissed me off. Well, Tuesday I found out that they were only sending one truck, and then the guy says, well, I don't have nothing else for you. So if you guys only got one truck going out, I don't have anything going back, so there's no use of bringing me an empty and then taking an empty back, because they move empties is what they do. So then last night,
no.
I called the guy and I said, well, you know, you got anything? And he's like, well, I can't move anything to you. Because unless you can go all the way to Dallas and pick up a load and bring it back, because it's sitting in Dallas, I just can't get you there. I can't get nobody to leave Dallas to come meet you. So there was nothing for me to do. So tonight I found out they're finally working. I talked to the guy that I normally meet up with, and he was told to stay home. And I was like, what do you mean you were told to stay home? They said they had freight. And he's like, well, my boss told me to stay home. And I'm like, well, what? You know, that's kind of stupid. But, I mean, it's kind of like I'd have worked if they could have gotten me the load. If the load could come to me to meet me at my swap point, which is about maybe, 2.5 hours south of Dallas? Maybe 3 hours
no.
south of Dallas? Because I drive 5 hours up there and then 5 hours back. So I'd have to have somebody to come meet me so that I can get up there and get back. But nobody would do that. So that I had to, again, stay home, you know. Everybody was working. Everybody was willing to do their normal thing here in South Texas, and it was in the 40s here or low 30s or high 30s. But anything north of Austin was getting freezing rain, and they just stayed home. Nobody worked. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that a couple years ago when Greg got stuck down there. Ice storm where everything froze up and everything. It sounds like the same old deal again.
Yeah, and it was. That's the same deal. And Dallas-Fort Worth just shut down. And of course, they had the governor came on and told everybody to stay home and all that stuff like that. But it didn't get that cold. So that year, when it got real bad, I mean, it was like 20 degrees down here in the South Texas. So every the whole state got hammered. This year, it only hit Austin and then, like, not even, and then once it got to East Texas, it lightened up. So it was like Austin and Dallas, and that's it. Anything east of that was fine. They got rain, but it wasn't freezing, like 35, you know, 40 degrees. But
yeah,
but you look
they don't treat the roads down there normally.
No, they don't have anything to do that. So yeah, when it does get bad, it shuts down. I get that, but it wasn't that bad, you know. And we know that once.
No.
Even if it's 30 degrees outside, you keep the roads, if you got enough traffic, the roads stay pretty wet anyway. you know.
Yeah.
It's not
the friction and tires running on it.
Exactly. Right. So, you know,
It's been in the mid-70s here in Phoenix.
Yeah. You guys have
been pretty nice throughout the day, but it's been getting down into the 40s at night, high 40s at night. But
well, you guys are getting crowded down there because everybody's showing up for the big game.
I'll be down in Casa Grande that weekend. Screw those people.
Oh man, it's crazy. I'm glad I don't have to mess with that crap. But yeah,
it's just like anywhere else where they have the Super Bowl, whenever they, you know, whatever city they have it in, it's going to get crowded and they're going to jack up the prices for everything around wherever the Super Bowl is.
Yeah, just hope and pray you don't need to Uber anywhere for the next week. That's going to be priceless.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah.
If I have to, I'll go get my truck and drive around.
Telling you. But yeah, man, that's it. I'm fixing to head to work. I'm gonna try to get in early so that I can get out there while it's still warm.
I was wondering if you're gonna work tonight or if they're making you stay home again.
No, not tonight. Like I said, I got a text from the guy from Waco. He said he's working tonight, so I know there's freight because the guy told me that there was freight last night. So there'll be freight tonight, and then as long as we got driving up. Thing he didn't have he had drivers
yeah,
showing
I,
up to have enough.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Yeah, it's about 6 o'clock, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep. Time to get going.
Yeah, I just wanted to just see how you're making out, you know, and then I was on and off and I was booking a load, so.
Okay. Cool. Yep. Yeah, I had a Ohio number call in, but they hung up too. So I guess they were busy too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
know
if it was Greg. I figured he would have popped in because he would have lit his fire on the autonomous trucks and electric trucks and automatic this, automatic that. So.
Right. Right.
I don't believe
no.
in it. They're just taking a driver out of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe that, you know, well, we're all just saying, okay, it's no big deal. You know, I mean, that's all we're doing, you know, is that nobody wants to fight for it. Everybody's just kind of like, oh, whatever. They ain't going to take my job. Yeah, they will. When you lose that contract, when that freight you're hauling, you know, when you're working.
Truck broke down.
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, just become a record driver, you know. So that's all you can do. All right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's all you can do. All righty, well, have a good night. Be safe down there.
All right, you too, bud. All right, good deal. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye. Good deal. All right, well, yeah, we're going to call it a day here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. 7 p.m. Eastern time is our time to get going. It's almost 8 o'clock Eastern time right now, 7 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. Like I said, give us a call every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's 515-602-9731 is the number to call in. You can just listen along or you can push one, be part of the conversation. We appreciate everybody doing that. And all thanks to our great sponsors, Trucker Tools at truckertools.com, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, and then Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate all their support. And we'll see you guys next time. Like I said, this is Redneck and I's Radio, and we're here live. And we'll see you guys soon. Keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.